Good morning. So good to be with you. There's a lot of countdowns to the end of the year and holidays. Well, there's another countdown. I think there's only three lessons left. And Rick's going, whew, because Rick's wondered every week, is somebody going to stand up and preach today? And so thankful to Rick for doing a lot of the administration until we have a regular preacher who's going to be with us in approximately 3 weeks, I guess. But I'm going to take my turn today and bring this lesson to you today, and I'm so thankful to be able to do so. It's really fundamental. My dad grew up in a neighborhood in Brooklyn called Sheepshead Bay, and he went to the barber shop. It was run by the Lombardi family, and sure enough, he told us much later in years, a guy named Vince in that place got his haircut in the same place. And he was well known as a coach in football, Green Bay Packers. And he's well known mostly for that speech he gave every time the beginning of the year with the new team. He'd hold up the football and say, "This is a football." And he'd go through the most basic things about blocking and tackling. And a lot of us aren't interested in football at all, but the point being, they had to re-perfect those things that are so fundamental and basic. And I hope today this lesson also will do the same for us with something very basic and fundamental. Like this clicker. Let's see. This is really comments on prayer and faith, because the subject of prayer can go so many different directions. We've already been involved in it this morning, haven't we? And I'm sure you have prior to coming here to worship, or yesterday and the day before. But yet it certainly, I don't think, hurts to discuss prayer and look at just this one aspect of prayer and the significant relationship it has with faith. And I've got a picture up here for us. Whoops. And I just like word pictures. And you know, a pizza is usually cut in eight pieces. I don't know if anybody's ever eaten a whole pizza. You probably don't want to raise your hand to that. Not a personal one, you know, a pizza. Maybe as a teenager you might have done that. But I'm going to ask you to eat one today, because my pie chart is shaped like one. And there's eight slices to this. And there's another reason I have that little metaphor. But we're going to look at prayer and faith and look at eight different aspects of that. And really, when you're talking about prayer, it's essentially tied in totally with faith. If you stop and think about it, when you pray to an unseen God, faith is the essential thing that's required in our heart. You know, in helplessness, we stretch out our hands of faith. And what we can't prove, we have to believe. And prayer is faith, is this first point. Prayer is faith. And if doubt and, you know, fear and other things that are obstacles to faith are removed, how powerful can our faith be? You know, prayer projects faith on God, and God responds. And it's only God who can move mountains. And we're going to look at a passage right here, Mark chapter 11, 24. This is one place where the context, Jesus cursed the fig tree, and then he taught when Peter responded and said, "The leaves are withered." And Jesus responded and said, you know, you need to have faith. And he showed his power when he cursed that fig tree. And when Peter pointed it out that it had withered, he said, "Have faith in God." And Mark 11, 24 ties together prayer and faith as good as any passage could. "I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you've received them, and they will be granted to you." And we'll look at some other passages that are so bold But they're true, and Jesus teaches us to grasp hold of that promise, and specifically, believe that you've received them. Believe that you've received them, and they will be granted to you. That's really a faith that possesses. It's a faith that takes hold of that promise. And it's a faith that's very conscious of God. And for us, is our faith growing right now during this time or any time? As the years pass by, is our faith continuing to grow? Are we letting obstacles arise that buffet against our faith? The Lord asks, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Yeah, I believe that he will. I believe that he will. And it's our job, it's our purpose to be that light, to keep our lamps trimmed and brightly burning. Here's a second slice. Faith is the foundation. Faith is the foundation. It's the foundation of a Christian's character. Jesus, anticipating Peter's denial, he prayed a prayer, told Peter that he had prayed this prayer. He said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee that what? That his faith fail not." You know, why did he pray that? Because he knew that Peter's faith breaking down, if it was to break down, and the same for all of us, spiritually, our life will crumble. Peter's faith needed guarding, and it did crumble, as we know, although he later repented. But that was the purpose of Jesus' prayer. And that same apostle would talk really along this same line to some extent. Now, that's not from Luke, okay? That is from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. So just ignore that little typo up there, because we're familiar with this passage. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, and to your temperance patience, and to patience godliness. What's the tie-in there? You know, if we want the spiritual safety that we can get from prayer and our faithfulness, the foundation we see in this adding and adding and adding is what? It's faith. It's not, you know, add to your works, these various graces. It's not add to anything else, any other virtue that we're adding these graces to, some gift we may have. It's added to our faith, and that's the starting point. And Peter was aware of this divine order of things, and if we're to make our calling and election sure, verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 1 says, then we must add to our faith, as Peter says. And how do we add to it? It's through prayer. It's through prayer. Constant, earnest praying. Faith is kept alive by prayer. Every step taken in this adding process is accompanied by prayer. How about another slice here? We need to pray specifically based on what we believe Jesus can do. Do we believe he can answer these prayers? We need to have faith in his ability, faith in the power of him as a person, that he can indeed answer our prayers. And therefore, the prayer can be faithfully prayed. Examples, what did the leper say when he approach Jesus? And it's been so great to study these miracles because we're so familiar with these different passages and places. The leper came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Another example, Jesus asked the two blind men. He entered the house and the men who were blind came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" That was a prerequisite. Is that they truly believed he could do this. And we need to believe that Jesus can indeed answer these prayers. And we recently learned about the ascension of Jesus and the miracle that the apostles witnessed. And Jesus left behind a statement. I didn't put it up here. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. What an encouragement that is to leave that statement behind to the believers. All power has been given to me in heaven and earth. And it's a great challenge to our faith. Patiently waiting. How often, though, when faith is called upon, we have to wait. We have to wait patiently. God doesn't answer prayers. He delays so often in answering prayer. But faith won't grow disheartened through that time. If it takes God at his word, you know, and it's his purposes that must be carried out. It's for his glory that the answers will come, not to us. So there's bound to be delays, but faith knows that. And faith is willing to be tested, and faith is willing to show its mettle as it's tested, because it'll have to. There's an example I'll use here, and that's Lazarus. And I just put this one verse up, but we know that prior to this, it's a whole chapter, the story of Lazarus passing and his resurrection. But two good women's faith were tested when they inquired of Jesus and said, very earnestly, your friend, your dear friend Lazarus, is sick and is dying. And what did Jesus do? It's unusual, but he tarried for 2 days. And he does explain why he tarried. But then he does say, let's go to Bethany. And he does go. And he says to them plainly, Lazarus died, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let's go to him. Just an example of his purposes. They had to wait. They had to wait. You know, for us, Jesus will answer. Jesus will answer. We have to be patient. We have to wait. And his delays will serve a purpose. Delays, there's often the testing, and it's the strength of faith to have to wait. Faith gathers strength by waiting and praying. And it may be the very essence of the prayer, the fact that we have to wait. But God answers. And our timing will all, his answers will be for our good. One other example is Jacob. He prayed arduously to be delivered when he was meeting again with Esau. But there was a lot of things Jacob had to do prior to that meeting taking place, before that prayer could be answered. He had to change, really. He had to change dramatically. And that way he could change Esau, essentially, when that meeting took place. But that's a wonderful story of this example, of this exact same thing, of the things he had to do. Perfect peace. One of the most significant statements on prayer is this one right here. From the book of John, chapter 12 through 14. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. I'll do it. How wonderful the statement is that all works and all prayer, faith is the basis of those things. And the more wondrous the works are, the more they depend on wonderful prayer. And you note all praying is done how? It's in the name of Jesus. But the passage speaks for itself. One inspiration for me in this lesson was these little booklets by E.M. Bounds. Some of you are familiar with those. They're wonderful little devotional books on prayer. And here's a quote. It's kind of long, but it explains the other side. This is the statement as it stands for us. What kind of man or woman can be this kind of person that can claim this? And I think he describes it well. If Jesus dwells at the fountain of my life, if the currents of his life have displaced and superseded all self currents. And Daryl's lesson last week about serving yourself versus serving God. And there's a little more. If implicit obedience to him be the inspiration and force of every movement of my life, then he can safely commit the praying to my will and pledge himself that whatever is asked shall be granted. It's really clear. It's really very clear, like most of the scriptures are. Faith covers temporal as well as spiritual needs. Faith dispels anxiety and needless care about what we're going to wear and what we're going to eat. All kinds of the basic daily things, which is really ties into this next slice of this pie here. And this quote really of perfect peace comes from this particular passage before I move on. Isaiah 26, verse 3, a description of the man who will be kept in perfect peace as their mind is steadfast because of their trust in God. Trust and prayer, that's another sermon for another day, but just talking about faith. It's for today that our prayers should be focused on. It's for today. You know, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, as part of the Lord's Prayer that we're familiar with, we're effectively shutting tomorrow out of that prayer. We're saying, give us what we need for today. We, of course, don't live in tomorrow. We live in today. We don't seek tomorrow's bread today. We seek today's. And we strive best when we focus on what we've got to get done today. In my sales world, I read a little booklet that said, I'm going to live today as if it was my last. A good thought to have, because we're living for tomorrow yet. We need to trust God for today. Leave tomorrow entirely to him. Bread given for today is bread enough. Bread given for today is the strongest pledge that there will be bread for tomorrow. And victory today is the assurance that there's going to be victory tomorrow. There's no storing up tomorrow's grace or tomorrow's praying. We know, of course, the great word picture that from the Old Testament about the manna that would spoil if it was collected for more than one day. And this passage right here from Matthew 6, verse 34, from the Beatitudes, from that section of Scripture, or a little bit after that. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So you may be almost filled with the pie here, but there's a couple of last points. Faith, genuine, authentic faith, is free of doubts. We read Mark chapter 11, 24 earlier, and about all things for which you pray and ask, you need to believe that you'll receive those things. And perfect faith, you know, has what perfect prayer asks for. But prayers can't be general or vague. It's that prayer has to be specific, for the answer to be specific. We'll look at the next verse, or the prior verse, Matthew 11, 23. Excuse me, that's supposed to be Mark, so I didn't do too good on my scripture passages here typing these things. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, believes that what he says is going to happen, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. You know, it's again, it's stated so clearly that the chief concern is with our faith, the problem of it growing and maturing. It can't be wavering. It can't be doubting. It's got to be specific. It's got to be knowledgeable. There's other things that we can say about that, but it can't be doubting. It can't be abstract. It can't be some kind of indefinite belief in what God's willing to do for us, not according to what the scripture teaches. It will be granted to him. I love the King James Version. He shall have whatever he saith. And if the faith and the asking is definitive, so will the answer be. You know, God won't give things other than what we're asking for. He'll do his best, though. He's ready to supply exactly what the answers are. You know, and faith deals with very specific things. It deals with God, and it deals with our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to believe in him that he's Savior. It deals with God's word, because it lays hold of that as inspired truth. By his Spirit, inspired men wrote it. God is the objective of our faith. And it isn't just believing anything. It's believing that God, resting in him, trusting his word. And then faith gives birth to prayer and grows stronger and higher. Lastly, one of the best places to look for faith is to look at the meaning of faith, personified examples of it. And there's no better place to look for that than at the great honor roll of those faithful men and women in Hebrews chapter 11. And we see the results, the wonderful results of faith in that place. And it's quite a glorious list of achievements listed out for us. And it's set all of them to the credit of faith. They made that roll because of their faith. And it's a listing of a lot of Old Testament saints. It concludes with this particular verse. What more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. That's from Hebrews 11:32. And then there's a wonderful description given of this group in verses 38 and 39. 38, it says, they're people of whom the world was not worthy. And then 39 says, and all these having gained approval through their faith. And actually, I put good report on my little thing. I was using King James Version of good report. And how significant that is, that the reason they're there is that they've gained the approval of God through their faith and through nothing else. It wasn't because of their intellect. It wasn't because of anything else that they achieved in this world of wealth or any social influence. They're there for that one reason. You know, above anything and everything else, it's their faith. They're mighty prayer and faithful men and women. And they achieve their standing before God because of their faith. And today, you know, many men obtain a good report because of many different things, because of the skills they have, because of many different things. And that's all good and well. But there are very few, I believe, who can gain a good report because of the faith and the things they've accomplished, and because of their prayers, the strength of their prayers. And just, they're the two cardinal virtues, truthfully, that make men great in the eyes of God, are their faithfulness and their prayers. You know, this little word picture, I can speak for myself. I care as much about things of this world that constantly pop up and that constantly take the place of things that are so much of greater importance. If you look at these things here and you compare it with the things of the world, we've got to constantly, the task of each recurring day isn't just to take care of our physical needs, it's to take care of our spiritual needs. And prayer is that task. It's a daily recurring task with each recurring day. And the doubts and the fears will arise, and we've got to take care of those twin foes of faith, basically. And they should never be honored. We should never think of those things in any way other than the danger that they can be to us. It's no credit to any man's mental capacity to even have any doubts of the existence of God. You know, our eyes should be taken off and removed from our own weaknesses and allowed to rest implicitly on God's strength. One of the best passages is, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by supplication and prayer, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Our eyes should be specifically focused on God. I hope it's been helpful. That's my lesson. And last week's lesson, there was a discussion about serving God versus serving ourselves. And everyone would like to have an inheritance, you know, a physical inheritance. How much are you going to get, right? But that's pales by comparison to a spiritual inheritance. And if you're not a Christian, you're not an heir of the promises of God. The most important being able to have a hope of heaven with him in the eternity. And if you're not a Christian, you should study after how to become one today or any other day. If you are ready to obey the gospel, this is a time to do so as we stand, as we sing the chosen song.